Well, as you know, we started a series back in October on healing your gift from God. And tonight happens to be part 16. Can you imagine? We're up to 16 messages. And we, you know, continue because I just want to cover as much of a foundation on healing as possible. So if you're viewing tonight for the very first time, I encourage you to go to our website, go into the middle of the page and the home page, and you'll see messages or recent messages. And I encourage you to go to healing, your gift from God. And when you click that on, it will go back to number one, and you'll be able to watch all the messages starting from number one and get caught up, so to speak. So I think that would help you if you are new to this and or that you just want to review the messages and learn more about healing. So let's do our declaration and then we'll do a quick review. I encourage everybody when it comes to the declaration to speak this out on a daily basis. And it goes, I operate from a position of victory because I have already won. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. Our anchor scriptures that we cover are all three from the Passion. The first one, 1 Peter 2:24. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. And the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. Romans 8:10-11. Now Christ lives his life in you. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. Now Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. In the fellowship of being one with him is our healing. Okay, so in the last message, in fact, it was last week, we looked at Abraham and Jesus in regards to speaking. That was the third message on speaking in the series, okay? And we looked at Genesis 17, verses 4 to 5, and I shared that this was Abraham's personal rhema word from God. And if you recall, I said each of us can get a rhema word from God for whatever situation we are encountering, whatever we're facing, amen? And that will direct us and give us an anchor, so to speak. We're anchored to God with what he has given us from his word. So we looked at Romans 4, we looked at verses 13 to 25, we kind of tore that apart, and we emphasized verse 17, where Abraham believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they were, okay? Life had to be given to the dead bodies of Abraham and Sarah, and I don't mean that their whole life was dead, but there were parts of their bodies that were dead. And life was given to them so that they could be healed and they could carry out the promise that God had given them. Then we looked at verse 18, and it says, he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. Because we were talking about speaking. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Abraham obtained the promised son based on what was spoken. Amen. And we can see why Abraham was called the father of faith. We can also, for ourselves, look at scriptures and call ourselves what the scriptures say. Call ourselves what God calls us, no matter what situation we're facing. We need to stay in agreement with God and always acknowledge that the doctors do not have the final say. Remember that. Whatever evil report you may hear or get, they do not have the final say. In order to hear something, it has to be spoken. And the words you speak affect you more than anyone else. If you recall, I said, what you believe, you will speak. But even if you don't believe the word, if you speak it long enough, you will eventually believe it, and then you will be able, and then you'll be bold enough to speak it. So it takes us a while sometimes. It's basically we are being retrained, okay? We are renewing our minds on the word of God. We always want to move from the natural to the spiritual. So if we call ourselves healed and ignore everything else that contradicts it, we will eventually experience what we have spoken. We also looked at Jesus, and Jesus only spoke what he heard the Father tell him to speak. And in Mark 11, 12 to 14, we looked at Jesus cursing the fig tree with the disciples listening. And after speaking to an object, a tree, all right, the disciples noticed the next day that it was withered away. And the week before, if we remember, I shared, or the message before actually, we talked about how Moses had hit the rock, and then God told him in Exodus 20, speak to the rock. And he was supposed to speak to it to produce water. Well, Moses didn't obey, and he had hit the rock, but God was establishing a new avenue for us, and our future was established on speaking to things. So Moses was to speak to a rock, Jesus spoke to a fig tree, and then we see in verse 23, Jesus is telling us to speak to our mountains. So when the fig tree began to die, that was the moment that Jesus spoke to it. And Jesus uses this event as an opportunity to teach his disciples the importance of speaking to mountains. So that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with speaking to your car, speaking to a dishwasher, okay? If God was telling Moses and Jesus it was okay to speak to things, it works for us as well. Our mountains can be anything from a financial need to a physical condition in our body. Speaking to the mountain needs to be done three times more than believing. Now, in looking, we also looked at Hebrews 4:12, and in looking at Hebrews 4:12, we saw that the word of God is several things. First of all, it's living, it's powerful, it's active, it's alive, it's operative, effective, moving, full of energy, full of power, and sharp like a surgeon's scalpel. Now, that word powerful means something at work. The word, when we speak the word, something goes to work. Something is at work in us with the word. So when we speak the word of God, it goes to work to heal our bodies. Pastor Clinton would always say after the end of service, the word of God is working mightily in me. And it's true. It's working mightily in us every time we speak it. I gave a list of 12 things that the word is and does. I'm only going to mention a couple things. I'm not going through them all, but we know it's seed. We know it's food. We know it is a lamp, and it also has power to create faith as well as eternal life. Knowing that the word does so much for us, why would we not speak it? Selah. Some of us, myself, sometimes also guilty of, you know, you give an opinion, you talk about something, but we'd be better off always speaking the word because that's where the power is. We looked at John 6:63, and Jesus said, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So when God hears our voices speak his word, we have activated his promises on our behalf. Just that simple. We also looked at Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11, and we saw where Jesus was tempted by the devil, but he would respond back, it is written, and then he would quote scriptures. Once again, we can learn from what Jesus did and do the same. God's word is the original healing medicine with no side effects, recommended to be taken as often as needed throughout the day on a daily basis. And the more you have it in you, when an attack comes, the readier you are to fight back. Amen? So tonight we're going to look at a little different direction. We're still on the topic of healing, but we're going to look at hindrances or roadblocks to healing. God made healing as simple as getting saved. I said, God made healing as simple as getting saved, for by grace are you saved through faith. All right, healing's the same thing. But many times people encounter issues in their path that the devil has orchestrated to keep them from receiving their healing. So keep in mind that God can heal any way he wants, and he can heal you differently. Every time you pray, he doesn't have to follow a same pattern. We don't want to limit him or dictate how our healing should come. So we're going to start off with looking at Hosea 4:6. It's a very simple truth, but this is going to encompass the first reason why people are not healed. So let's look at Hosea 4:6. I'm going to read from the New King James, the Voice, and the New Living. And it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Wow. Listen to it in the Voice. "You have forgotten the law of your God. You've rejected my judgments. I'll reject you because of your lack of knowledge. Reject you as my priest. I'll even forget your children." And I like this from the New Living. "My people are being destroyed because they don't know me." My people are being destroyed because they don't know me. "Since you priests refuse to know me, I refuse to recognize you as my priest. Since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will forget to bless your children." I can relate to this personally because growing up, I knew about Jesus, went to church, but it wasn't until I was 28 that I can say that I knew him personally. Satan has a lot of knowledge about God, but he's not saved. Okay? And many are influenced by religion, traditions of men, but it is knowing God personally that is needed. So the number one reason that people are not healed is a lack of knowledge from the word that God is the healer. Now, we have many people out there in the world who don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Bible. They think it's a storybook. And many of them are not even Christians. They come from different religions, whether it's Buddhism or Hindu or Islam, okay? And they believe in different religions that don't offer divine healing. Therefore, millions of people are lacking knowledge. We also know that there's, I think when the statistics were out, it was Pastor Greg talked about the billions of people who are not saved. We have our work cut out for us. And growing up, I had no idea that God healed. The subject of healing was neither taught nor discussed. In fact, we prayed for someone out of pure desperation if there was somebody sick. Satan does not want people to know the truth about healing, just like he prefers we don't share the gospel with others for salvation. He doesn't want us telling people about Jesus. He hates it when we evangelize, okay? Truth be told, Satan would like all Christians to see God as the bad guy. Oh, you know, this earthquake, this horrible hurricane, flooding, okay? Oh, an act of God. They blame God for things, okay? They blame him for all kinds of horrible disasters and diseases, early deaths, and every natural calamity that occurs. Satan would love for all of us to blame God. But if we have knowledge as we're supposed to, we know that didn't come from God. He wouldn't do that, okay? So people have to hear the word of God in order to have faith for healing. Let me say that again. People have to hear the word of God in order to have faith for healing. Let's go to Romans 10:17. We're going to look at it in the New King James and then the Passion, very briefly. Romans 10:17. Okay? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the Passion, it says it this way. Then faith is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. So God's way of producing faith for healing is the same as that of producing faith for salvation and any other blessing. People have to hear about Jesus. They have to hear that he took their sins and that he gives them eternal life. They have to hear that, and then they have to have the faith to believe. So the one in need should first learn from the word what God's will is in that particular matter. Let's go to Romans 1:16-17. I'm going to read that from the New King James and then the Amplified Classic. Romans 1:16-17. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It's to become our lifestyle. In the Amplified, it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes, with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith, as it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. Listen to it in the Passion. In the Passion says, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. For I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved, the Jew first, and then people everywhere. This gospel unveils a continual revelation, okay, of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe, and it moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith. So this is what the scripture means when it says we are right with God through life-giving faith. So when Jesus was here on earth, he healed everyone, and many of these individuals were saved, and some were not saved. Saved in the fact that they believed in him as the Messiah. But there were many who didn't believe and didn't know. As he had not yet gone to the cross before all these, when these healings were going on, okay, and many of them were Jews. Things changed, right? So it is the truth from the written word that sets us free. Whenever these people were healed, many of them wanted to follow Jesus. And we see that in the scriptures, okay? They wanted to be part of the church at that time, which wasn't really the church yet, hadn't been established. They wanted to be one of his disciples. So it's the truth from the written word that sets us free. Freedom is the truth known. Again, we're supposed to have knowledge, understood, received, acted on, which is our faith, maintained and believed with an appropriate faith. The word of God is seed that has power, but it must be known, received, believed, and kept in good ground. The only place good seed can grow. And you and I are that good ground. Each of us needs to make our own commitment to consistently begin the process of getting to know God and his word. Let's go quickly to Exodus 15:26 in the New King James. And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals. Now we're going to come back to that later on. But when God says, if thou wilt diligently heed or hearken and do all this, what this means is to be diligent in the matter of knowing, having knowledge, and understanding and practicing what God says in his word on the subject of healing. So our part is to be diligent, heed and hearken, and have the knowledge about a topic or a subject. We must know what God offers to us before we can expect to receive it from him. The knowledge of God's will must precede faith for his will to be done. We have to have the knowledge before we can be saved, before we can exercise our faith. The same with healing. If I have the knowledge about healing and I know what God's will is, I won't have doubt. I'll exercise my faith for healing. Let's go to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, familiar scriptures. I'm going to read that in the New King James and then the Message. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice three different areas here. A good, being in the good will of God, the being in the perfect will of God, or being in the acceptable will of God. I don't want to be in the acceptable will of God. I want to be in the perfect will of God. Okay? And we are transformed by renewing our mind on the word. Listen to it in the Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. You cannot survive in this world today by having one foot in the world and one foot in the Word of God. The enemy will come right down the middle and take you out. You'll be waffling all over the place. It won't work. So the scriptures are very clear that we need to be careful with our culture. So that being said, each of us grew up in a particular environment. And that environment may have helped your spiritual growth or it may have been detrimental. So things get passed on down. The great-grandparents say something, do something, celebrate something, then the grandparents do. Then your parents do, and they teach you certain things. And it may or it may not be scriptural. And for myself, I had to relearn and learn. I used to tell people, I often say I was dumber than dumb when it came to spiritual things, okay? I had to relearn certain things that were incorrect, and then I had to learn things from the Word to add on to my knowledge. This may take some time to make changes and corrections, but I guarantee you it is so worth it. I can't stress it enough, but we need to sometimes fix the things that we learned, especially in the area of healing. Find out, what does the Word of God say about healing? Go with that and get rid of what cultural family traditions and things in that you've heard that don't line up with the Word. Our choices and decisions in life must be from God's word. So my opinions, my experiences, traditions of men, or beliefs all need to line up with the word of God, okay? And so the things that are not lining up with the word have no value. My opinions, experiences that don't line up with the word aren't important. So in summary of number one, continue to increase your knowledge of God's word on the topic of healing and make the corrections if there are any unscriptural cultural traditions or beliefs that don't agree with the word. Okay? Now, the second reason for people not being healed is a belief. Here's the belief that they go with: God sends sickness on people. Many people think that. Some churches have even taught that. All right? So we're going to go back now and straighten that out. Let's go back to Exodus 15, 26, the New King James. I said we were going to come back to this. I want to point out some things. And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals. So when you hear that phrase, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, okay? It does make it look like God put the sickness and disease on the Egyptians. Okay? So we're going to come back to that. I'm going to go through two more scriptures, but we're going to talk about these issues or that issue altogether. So let's go to Isaiah 45, verse 7. Isaiah 45, verse 7, and that's from the King James Version. And it says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Create evil? One more scripture. Let's go to Micah, chapter 1, verse 12 in the King James Version. Micah 1, 12. For the inhabitant of Maroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. Evil came down from the Lord. So these three scriptures and others that you may have read in the scriptures, okay, in the Bible, the answer to this is to go back to the original Hebrew. What does the original Hebrew say? Now, we know that God doesn't create evil. There's no evil in heaven. So evil can't come from heaven, but God will permit evil. He doesn't create sickness and disease. There's no sickness and disease in heaven. He only permits it to come as a result of man's disobedience. Sometimes you will see the word allow, okay? You could say God allows this to happen because of man's disobedience. So the key to these difficulties lies in the fact that the active verbs in the Hebrew have been translated in what's known as the causative sense when they should have been translated in the permissive sense. They were translated causative, making it sound like God caused these things, and it should have been done in a permissive sense. Now, if you read this in the Young's Literal Translation, it would read, I will permit to be put upon thee none of these diseases which I permitted to be brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, you just take the word healeth and listen to what that one word means. It means always, continuously healing. Wow. He's always continuously healing. I love it. Nowhere in the Bible do we see God putting sickness on anyone. Nowhere. Acts 10:38. Let's look at that in the New King James. Acts 10:38. And it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, not evil, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He healed those oppressed by the devil. The oppression, the sickness and disease comes from the devil. The good part, Jesus doing the healing, came from God. Amen. So Jesus is the healer and Satan is the oppressor. We have to get that solidified. We have to get it into our spirits and believe it. Always remember the difference between commission and permission. God permits or allows people to steal, to kill, but he doesn't ever commission their acts. He doesn't agree with those kinds of acts, but he allows them. Just like God doesn't commission people to reject his son Jesus. He wants everybody to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But there's so many that out there right now don't know about him, but he will permit them to reject Jesus. Okay? He didn't make us robots. We're not computers. Okay? He gave us the opportunity to make our own choices. We have the free will to accept or reject his son. So remember, God sent Moses to Pharaoh with him to plead with him to release Israel. God didn't want the plagues to come on the Egyptian people. But when Pharaoh hardened his heart, God withdrew his protection and permitted the plagues to sweep over the land of Egypt. So when we step out from underneath that umbrella of protection of God, things can happen in our lives as well. We can be going down the path and following God, going to church, doing things, and then somebody comes along, grabs us by the neck and says, come on over here, let's go over here, let's do this, let's go party. Next thing you know, that person may be get caught up on drugs or any other thing, and they're out of the will of God. So this is my personal opinion. Okay, I'm just giving you opinion. It is just not the character of a loving God who put sickness on his own son so we could have life and health to turn around and put sickness on his creation. That is not only psychotic, but it's abuse. God would be arrested for child abuse if he put sickness on us. Okay? Anybody that does something to a child that's not right can be arrested for child abuse. Our God is not that person or not like that. He's not that way. He is love. So in summary of reason number two, God does not send sickness on anyone. And the original Hebrew tenses show that it permitted or allowed, but it never originated from God. Study out the truth and affirm it in your own life and begin to think and begin to realize, as you see in the word, nobody ever had sickness and disease put on them by God. The third reason people are not healed is fear. Fear, a reason for not being healed. Now, back in the beginning of the series, I touched upon fear of death, and briefly in part three, but predominantly in most of the message of number four, okay, I talked about the death and how a Christian should relate to death. All right. So if you are interested, you want to review it, go back to number four and look at all the scriptures on death. As Christians, we are promised a long life. Psalm 91, verse 16. We have a promise of a long life, and we determine, I've said this before, we determine when we want to go home to be with the Lord. Go back to number four to reinforce our promises. But remember that we don't have to die sick. There's this thinking that, yeah, okay, you got to die from something. No, you don't. We don't have to die sick. Many of our forefathers, just when they were finished doing the work of God, they just curled up and went home to be with the Lord. So Jesus is our resurrection and our life. Life can be defeated and ended, but resurrection overcomes. I covered so much of this in depth in number four. Believers must learn to live in Christ our life, but also Christ our resurrection to conquer all things. When a Christian has completed the work that God called him to do, he can simply bid goodbye to his family, go to sleep, and wake up in heaven. Jesus conquered death, and therefore we were set free from the power of death. There's absolutely no reason to fear death. And I know what I see, people get, they go to the doctors, they get an evil report, and fear overwhelms them. It happened with COVID. So many people were in fear. They heard about all the consequences with COVID, and many of them should not have gone home. Let's go to Romans 8:2 in the New King James. And it reinforces this, is for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So as Christians, we graduated from death and entered into life. The moment we got born again, we not only died and were buried, but we rose with Christ. Okay? So let's go to John 5:24 in the Voice. This is Jesus speaking, John 5:24. He says, I tell you the truth. Eternal life belongs to those who hear my voice and believe in the one who sent me. These people have no reason to fear judgment because they have already left death and entered life. They have already left death and entered life. Let's go to John 8:51 in the New King James. John 8:51 in the New King James. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. He shall never see death. Fear is a major tool of the devil. And if he can get us to operate in fear, we will be overwhelmed by our emotions and unable to operate in faith. Fear is not of God, and it can hinder your healing. You get these negative thoughts in your mind, they become overwhelming, and many people give up. Let's go to Job 3:25. Job 3:25. So many people in conversation will say, well, what about Job? Well, let's tell you about Job. Job 3:25 in the New King James. He says, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. The fear opened the door for the wrong things. What he dreaded happened to him. Listen to it from the voice. What I feared most descends on me, my nightmare, now reality. That fear caused the nightmare to turn into reality. Okay? Again, it came upon him. People need to understand that when you are in fear, you can bring things upon yourself. Listen to the Amplified Classic. The thing which I greatly fear comes upon me, and that of which I am afraid befalls me. We can do it to ourselves, Lord. Okay? And it happens to originate from our thought processes. So many times I hear people compare themselves or their situations to Job, but fear dominated Job's thinking. That's simple. His thinking was off. It was about fear. And it evolved into a nightmare of losses and physical symptoms. This is not for a New Testament believer. This is not for a New Testament believer, okay? We're not to be dominated with fear. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7 in the New King James, then the Amplified and the Passion. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Three things to overwhelm the fear. Listen to the Amplified. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and a well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Okay? Listen to the Passion. For God will never, never give you the spirit of fear. God will never give us a spirit of fear. But the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. We have the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us power, love, and self-control. Satan tries to set up strongholds in our minds. Okay, that's what he wants to do all the time. What is a stronghold? Stronghold is an area in which we are held in bondage due to a wrong way of thinking. Let me say it again. A stronghold is an area in which we are held in bondage due to a strong way of thinking. Sometimes it's like, well, I could never do this, or I can't do that, or I'm not this, I'm not that. It's a stronghold that the enemy has already set up. So examine what is in your mind. And if it does not agree with God's thoughts in the Bible, cast it down. Cast down your thoughts and think God's thoughts instead. Make certain you do not speak out the negative thoughts. I think it was it Brother Hagin, somebody remember saying, you know, a bird can come along and you know, fly on or sit on your head, but don't let it stay and make a nest. Because once it makes a nest, it's going to plant itself and now it's home. Well, the same thing with our thoughts. When a negative thought comes, don't let it stay. Don't let it get comfortable and make it its home. No, it's got to go. So the thoughts may come, but if unspoken, they will not manifest. Thoughts are going to come. Don't speak them out, because otherwise we're giving power to it with our words. The mind is a battlefield where a war can be lost or won. God's weapons will always defeat Satan's, as long as we use them and don't give up. One of the most important things for people is to just hang in there with God. Okay? So remember, God's weapons always defeat Satan's weapons as long as we use them and don't give up. So when fear tries to overtake you, do what the scriptures tell us to do. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6, and we're getting ready to wind up here. I'm going to read that in the King James, the Passion, and the Voice. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. We want to get rid of these strongholds of wrong thinking, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. Now, listen to it in the Passion. Although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. Now, listen, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. Think about that. I'm going to reread that because that's important. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. Now listen to it in the Voice. The weapons of the war we're fighting are not of this world, but are powered by God and effective at tearing down strongholds erected against his truth. We are demolishing arguments and ideas, every high and mighty philosophy that pits itself against the knowledge of the one true God. We're taking prisoners of every thought, every emotion, and subduing them into obedience to the Anointed One. As soon as you choose obedience, we stand ready to punish every act of disobedience. So when we cast down, that casting, that word means to lower, or with violence, demolish, cast, pull, put, take down, or destroy. So we tear down the strongholds by overloading our thoughts with scriptures, praise and worship, listening to messages on healing, and positive confessions, okay? So two things cannot occupy the same space. I can't count backwards from 100 to 50, you know, 100, 99, 98, and at the same time, praise the Lord, I'm doing one thing, okay? So we don't do the negative, we do the positive. One is going to push out the other. So if you're going to praise the Lord, listen to praise and worship music, you're going to quote scriptures, you're going to listen to the word, it's going to get rid of the strongholds. It'll get rid of the fear. So once again, the word of God will do the fighting and bring about your victory. Fear has to go. And has been said in the past, I'm sure you've heard this, no fear here. No fear here. So in summary of reason number three, why people are not healed, that fear is a reason, okay? Maintain healthy, fear-free thoughts. Maintain healthy, fear-free thoughts. Stay built up on healing scriptures and learn to cast down any thoughts of fear. Amen? Amen. So we covered three roadblocks. We'll be doing more in the future. But if those are any areas where you've been affected, think about what's been said and use your scriptures to get rid of those strongholds. Amen? Heavenly Father, we have learned that it's always your desire for us to be healed. We know that we need to increase our knowledge of you or our knowledge of healing, okay? And we need to believe it. And we know that you don't have any sickness in heaven. You don't have any fear in heaven. You don't have any of those things that are evil to put on us. That wasn't your intention at all. You put it on Jesus. You did give us, though, love, power, and a sound mind. Fear is simply a tool of the devil, and we refuse to fear. We thank you, Lord, for always giving us the victory. That your desire, it's been established, and it's always your goal. You're always going to have us end up with the right way, having all the benefits that you had paid for through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So tonight, if you're tuning in with us the first time, and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ, or maybe you've been listening, but you've never made the confession of asking Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray this simple prayer and just repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he was crucified, died, and was buried. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. You rose on the third day, and when you rose, I rose. I thank you, Father, that I now have this eternal life, and I will live my eternal life with you in heaven. So thank you, Father, and fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can not only have you as my Savior, but as my Lord. Amen. If you pray that simple prayer, you'll see on the screen contact information. You can email us. You can mail into us a request, or you can call us. The information's there. And we want to connect with you because we want you to get some free information that will help you get started in your walk with the Lord. And we encourage you to find a church. Find a church home. Get fed. You need to be fed the Word of God so that you have knowledge and you have everything that's going to take you in the right direction. Everything God does always works out for the good.